Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Welcome to my house and my fireside chat, which I try to have every week. What's the story, guys, about next week? I'll be in Japan. I guess I can't really do next week. But I would like to. I would like to figure out a way. Anyway, I'll be lecturing in Japan, Korea, and China. Let you know all about it when I return. Thank you for being with me. My trusty bulldog, who is now lying down next to me, will make an appearance undoubtedly if he gets up at some point during the broadcast. So this is what I want to open up with, and I'm going to take your questions. I don't know how many of you know this, but there is, again, yet another recording of a professor at some college. I don't remember which. It's completely irrelevant which one. And she is just standing in front of the class and saying terrible things, awful things, negative things about President Trump. And she goes on and on. It wasn't even a side comment. It was just basically, it seems like it's the essence of the class that day was how terrible President Trump is. First of all, I was thinking, is there any equivalence on the right? How many professors devoted a chunk of their class or repeated classes to speaking ill of former President Obama? I would be surprised if the number is two, because you always allow for one outlier. But this is common now. But that's not what I want to talk about. It's not my subject. My subject is this. The student who recorded this may be up for disciplinary charges on having recorded the professor and then making it available to the public. Now, this is the subject I want to talk to you about. Teachers opposing being recorded in their classrooms. Now, I taught college. When I was in my early 20s, I taught at Brooklyn College. And believe it or not, we had recorders in those days. They were called tape recorders. And kids would ask me, students would ask me, is it all right if I record you? And I remember my first reaction. Why would I not want you to record me? That I kept thinking, because whenever you're asked something, you obviously wonder or immediately infer what the reason for the question is, correct? If somebody says, you know, should I take an umbrella out? The assumption is it's raining. So what was the assumption here? I couldn't figure it out. I'm standing up in front of a classroom of, let's say, 50 students. Why would I not want them to be able to be allowed to record me? Will I say something in class that I don't want a 51st person to hear? Well, then I shouldn't say it at all. If I'm going to be ashamed of what I say, if people outside the classroom hear me, then I should be ashamed to say it for the people inside the class who hear me. Right? Isn't that like a given? So, by the way, I have been lecturing for 40 years, and it has never occurred to me. I always ask, can I record your speech? Can I record your speech? And I say, I not only want you to record my speech, I want you to then share it with as many friends as possible. Unless there is some circumstance where I'm speaking to three or four people, and I have very confidential information to give, I can't think of a reason why a public speaker inside a classroom, at a church, synagogue, at a community center, at a company, I don't get it. You're talking publicly by talking. So why would you be against having it recorded? Are you not proud of what you say? If you're not proud of what you say, shut up to begin with. Don't start. I actually am angry, and I have contempt for teachers who are opposed to being recorded. It means they are ashamed of what they're saying. There is no other possible explanation. If you know of another explanation, let me know. So please don't honor these teachers. They have dishonored their profession by saying, no, I don't want anyone on earth to know what I have said to you, morons. That's what they're saying. You are so stupid, I can get away with anything. But if this goes public, well then, I'm the one who looks foolish. It's contempt for the students in the class for a teacher to be opposed, let alone to legally go after somebody for recording him or her. Right? Aren't they saying that to you in the classroom? I can get away with anything with you because you're 20-year-old ignoramuses. But I know that if 40-year-olds, 60-year-olds, and 80-year-olds hear me, I am in big trouble. That's what they're saying. There is nothing else that could possibly be offered as an explanation. Other than that, I don't have strong feelings on the issue. Just thought I'd share that with you. So if this happens, you raise this issue. Say, wait, I don't understand. Are you afraid of what people older than 22 might think if they hear you, Professor Jones? That's the legit response. Okie dokie. Time. Oh, good. It's still lit. By the way, Slate Magazine, which is on the left, incidentally, just had a huge article on how much we've been lied to about secondhand smoke. I have been saying this my whole life. I have been a voice of almost one in the country. I knew the statistics were fraudulent to begin with. The anti-smoking zealots made it up because they weren't getting Americans to stop smoking by telling them it's dangerous. They made up the lie that you're killing people if you smoke. And that's what did it. It was the secondhand smoke lie that was effective. And since activists often believe that they can lie on behalf of their great goals, that's what happened. It was a fraud the whole time. Secondhand smoke doesn't do anything to kill people. Now, if you have asthma and somebody blows smoke in your nose, okay, that's not good. But that's it. So if you have asthma, tell somebody, could you put the cigar down or the cigarette down? Okay, so just wanted to share that with you. All righty, here we go. Uh-oh. What can I help you with? Is that Siri? Siri always comes up. Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen. How you doing? Dennis, with the media, the Democratic Party, parts of the intelligence community, and much of the federal bureaucracy trying to bring President Trump down, will it even be possible for him to enact his agenda? Yes. Yes, it will. Because he has the Senate, and he has the House, and he has two-thirds of the governors of the country, and he has the great majority of the state legislatures of the country. But it's true. All those things you mentioned, he doesn't have. That is why those who are not engaged in the hysteria, and it's all hysteria with regard to him, racist, misogynist, and all of that stuff, it's all hysteria, it's dishonest as well, you have to let him know that you support him. But people will let him know in 2 years at the polls. And it won't matter even then to the media elite and to Hollywood and to your professors and to the New York Times editorial board. But eventually they may realize that they are more and more isolated. Look, now, by the way, listen to this. What if, in fact, President Trump makes progress with regard to the inner city, a.k.a. the black inner city? Then the Democrats may no longer have the stranglehold on the vote of the black community in America. And then they can't win any election. That's the reason that the left must perpetuate the lie that the Republicans are racist, because they have no positive results to show black America for being the people for whom they vote 95% strong. The Democrats have done nothing for Black America. Nothing. I could argue, in fact, that they have harmed Black America. But what they do is they perpetuate the lie that Republicans are racist, conservatives are racist, whites are racist, and that way you need us to protect you against all these racists. But if the guy they've called racist the most turns out to actually help Black America in the next 2 years, that's it's over for a while for the Democratic Party. Okie dokie, Lucy. Hi, Lucy. Dennis, with all the hysteria that Trump is up against, we supporters want to help him, but aren't going to start protesting or making tons of noise like Democrats do. How else can we support our president? First of all, you should read my column from last week, National Review, Town Hall, DennisPrager.com, and it is exactly about that, how the left has a monopoly on riots. When you think about it, when was the last conservative riot you experienced? That's a toughie. Let's see. So I am considerably older than those of you in your 20s, and I don't recall one, not one. When was the last time conservatives blocked interstate traffic? When was the last time conservative students took over a dean's offices? Get my point? That's exactly what they do, because they're so sanctimonious. That's why. They're so certain that they are right and all those who oppose them are garbage. I mean, truly human garbage. See, we think the left is wrong, but the left thinks we're evil. It's a big difference. They have to think we're evil because they can't combat our positions, so they must combat our character. That's how it works. It's all clear. Well, you can support it by posting positive articles on your Facebook page, for example. Letting people know that, you know what, there really are some pretty effective arguments on behalf of this president. Because they really think that all intellectual life revolves around the left. And for them, it's true. Because they don't read us, they don't study under us, they don't watch us, they don't listen to us. But we watch them, we read them, we listen to them, and we study under them. As I wrote in my article, we know you, but you don't know us. All right, Jim. How you doing, Jim? What did Jim answer? We don't know, do we? Be great if we had a two-way possibility. Dennis, in light of members of the intelligence community abusing their surveillance powers to harm a democratically elected president, are you thinking twice about your support of broad government surveillance powers? Yes. I said that on my radio show yesterday because I was for NSA having, you know, trolling vast billions of phone calls for terrorism, because I truly believed, and I was wrong, because I forgot how much the left can poison whatever it touches. And I really did think that if there's one community I could trust, it's the intelligence community, not to use what they have for political purposes. And I was wrong, and it's a very painful wrong, not because my ego is damaged because I was wrong. It's painful for America. But it's part of my belief, whatever the left touches, it ruins. Your university is a good example if you're a college. And that's one of the many examples. And now this. It's a big problem. Dennis. Oh, if it's a Dennis, he's not in college. This guy's over 40. Dennis, I don't understand why the left is so opposed to border security. To me, it just makes sense that you should know who's coming into your country. Can you explain why the Democrats are so opposed? Dennis, you have a very deep flaw in your question. Sorry to break it to you, but when you write doesn't it make sense? If people were guided by what makes sense, everybody would be conservative. Does it make sense to raise the minimum wage so high that people put in automated machines and get rid of young waiters and waitresses and order takers at McDonald's? Does it make sense? Does it make sense to lower the standards of a college on behalf of minority groups, which is an insult to those minority groups and only means that too many of them won't be able to live up to the academic standards of the college that they got into because the standards were lowered to take them? No, it doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to have open borders? That is what the left wants. They want it in Europe. They have it. It's called the Schengen rules. If you get into Germany, you can go to any member of the European Union with no passport, no visa, nothing. No passport even. No ID. Just drive. Just walk. That's their dream, a borderless world. I don't know why it's a dream, frankly. I really don't. I think it's a beautiful thing that countries have their own culture. They want to preserve their own heritage. Little Albania would like to preserve Albanian and not become 50% German or 50% French or 50% Bulgarian. I want the Albanians to survive. I think there's something beautiful. But the quote that Hillary Clinton was caught on when she was running for president, you may recall, was she wants open borders. William, hello, William. Dennis, if you were offered a cabinet position by a Republican president, in which position do you think you could do the most good? That's a great question. I have actually thought about it. I wouldn't want any of the cabinet positions. This is the position that I would like. I would like to be sent around the world in official capacity to make the case for American values. I would like to go to colleges all over the earth and make a case for these values. America's Trinity, take a look at my book, I explain it. Still the Best Hope is the name of the book, and it explains the difference between Americanism, leftism, and Islamism. And I would like to speak on that all over the world, and I'd like to speak about it all over America. See, the reason, it's a personal question you ask, so I'll answer in a personal way. I think I need a lighter. My dream has never been, thank you, has never been to have power. I have no interest in power. It's as interesting to me as golf. Now, for some of you, that makes no sense because you're passionate about golf, and I understand, but I'm not. And so, this might be a better analogy. Power interests me as much as darts. I don't think most of you, unless you're European, get into darts. I am interested in influence. That's why there's Prager University. That's why I have a radio show. That's why I write books. Why I lecture. That's why I'm doing this right now. I want to influence people. I don't want any power over anyone. So that's why I'm not suited to that life. But I would like to be, so in that sense, to a certain degree, I'd like to be vice president. Because then you don't have to do much, but your voice is heard. That's what I would like. Amy, hi Amy. Dennis, in today's world, it's very difficult to find that first job without having a college degree on your resume. Yes, sending your child to college is playing Russian roulette with their values, but what alternative is there? I understand, and I blame employers for this truly moronic idea. They never would have hired Abraham Lincoln. But the Unabomber did go to Harvard. So it's totally irrelevant. It's the only time going to college should be relevant to an employer is if I have to know that you have a certain body of knowledge. If I am running a physics lab, I want to know you got a bachelor's or a master's or a PhD in physics. That makes perfect sense. But beyond that, without a specialized, usually scientific body of knowledge that needed to be mastered, it's pointless. So I really do blame employers. They are a big part of the problem. They've colluded to make you broke, and by sending your kid to a university. Having said that, since sometimes it still is helpful, I have to acknowledge that, in terms of that resume, just don't send them right after high school. I just talked about this on my radio show today, and you should all check into the radio show. It's 3 hours a day that I have to really talk about life. And I talked about this for a whole hour, about where or what you should do with regard to your child, or what you should do yourself in regard to going to a college. The first thing is, don't go straight out of high school. This is every parent, I beg them, don't. And be aware that it's Russian roulette. So I have advocated three things, and I've done this for many, many years. One, work for a year, at least a year, work. The more knowledge of real life you get no knowledge of real life from academia. Academia is a world of theory. Work is the real world. And that's why it's ideal. And the ideal work is a waiter or waitress. You have to interact with people, and you have to smile when you're in a bad mood. These are great. I also advocate sending your child for a month or two to Israel. The reason is that, first of all, it's the roots of Western culture. It's the land of the Bible. But the bigger reason is they're going to hear two countries vilified at college, the United States and Israel. Well, they've lived in America, and if they believe the vilification of America, there's nothing I can do. But at least if they go to Israel, they will see what a decent place it is. And then they'll come back and they'll hear all these lies about Israel. And then they'll start wondering, gee, if my professors are lying about Israel, maybe they're not telling me the truth about America or about a whole host of other things. And so those were two things. And the third thing is they should watch every single Prager University video during the year between high school and college, if they haven't already. And they should write a synopsis of every single one. And if you need to bribe them, bribe them. It's a lot cheaper than college. Jeff, Dennis, since I could never get this question through the screener on your radio show, do you prefer Bose or Klipsch speakers? Sir, you are asking me my favorite question, to talk about audio equipment. Well, as it happens, Bose is a fine product. Bose is not generally for the audiophile, the person who is used to very discerning sound from speakers, headphones, and so on, which is what they make. And I think that Bose may not agree with me on the headphones, but on speakers, by the way, their tabletop speakers were great. But I think you mean larger. I didn't even know Bose made larger speakers. Klipsch is a terrific brand, but there are many terrific brands. But people say, what's the best stereo? It's like asking, what's the best food? You have to listen, and then you make up your own mind. But you must listen, and you should go to audio shows. That's the best way to compare. Wow, look at that. It's it for today. This is a real joy for me. So don't forget, go to PragerUniversity.com, DennisPrager.com, and I think that pretty much exhausts that. You will really love my evening last night with Adam Carolla. That is on, where should they go to see that?
Facebook page.
Our Facebook page. So until next time, thank you. From my home, I'm Dennis Prager.